Chapter 5. In which Mr. Walker makes three attempts to ascertain the dwelling of Morgiana. The day after the dinner at the Egent Club, Mr. Walker stepped over to the shop of his friend the perfumer, where, as usual, the young man, Mr. Mazras, was established in the front premises. For some reason or other, the captain was particularly good-humored, and quite forgetful of the words which had passed between him and Mr. Eglanton's lieutenant the day before, began addressing the latter with extreme cordiality. "A good morning to you, Mr. Mazras," said Captain Walker. "Hi, sir, you look as fresh as your namesake you do, indeed, now, Mazras." "You look as yellow as a guinea," responded Mr. Mazras, sulkily. He thought the captain was hoaxing him. "My good sir," replies the other, "nothing cast down, I drank rather too freely last night." "The more beast you," said Mr. Mazras. "Thank you, Mazras. The same to you," answered the captain. "If you call me a beast, I'll punch your head off," answered the young man, who had much skill in the art which many of his brethren practice. "I didn't, my fine fellow," replied Walker. "And the contrary, you, do you mean to give me the lie?" broke out the indignant Mazras, who hated the agent fiercely, and did not in the least care to conceal his hate. In fact, it was his fixed purpose to pick a quarrel with Walker, and to drive him, if possible, from Mr. Eglanton's shop. "Oh, you mean to give me the lie, I say, Mr. Hooker Walker? For heaven's sake, Amos, hold your tongue," exclaimed the captain, to whom the name of Hooker was as poison. But at this moment a customer stepping in, Mr. Amos exchanged his ferocious aspect for a bland grin, and Mr. Walker walked into the studio. When in Mr. Eglanton's presence, Walker too, was all smiles in a minute, sank down on a settee, held out his hand to the perfumer, and began confidentially discoursing with him. "Such a dinner, Tiny my boy," said he, "such prime fellows to eat it to. Billingsgate, Vauxhall, Cinquebars, Buff of the Blues, and half a dozen more of the best fellows in town. And what do you think the dinner cost a head? I'll wager you'll never guess. Was it 2 guineas a head? In course I mean without wine," said the genteel perfumer. "Guess again. Well, was it 10 guineas a head?" "I'll guess any sum you please," replied Mr. Eglanton. "Or I know that, when you nobs are together, you don't spare your money. I myself, at the Tar and Garter at Richmond, once paid 18 pence.
18 pence, sir.
I paid 5 and 30 shillings per head. I'd have you to know that I can act as a gentleman as well as any other gentleman, sir," answered the perfumer with much dignity. "Well, 18 pence was what we paid, and not a rap more, upon my honor." "Nonsense, you're joking. The Marquess of Billingsgate dined for 18 pence. Why, hang it, if I was a Marquess, I'd pay a £5 note for my lunch." "You little know the person, Master Eglanton," replied the captain, with a smile of contemptuous superiority. "You little know the real man of fashion, my good fellow. Simplicity, sir, simplicity's the characteristic of the real gentleman, and so I'll tell you what we had for dinner. Turtle and venison, of course. No nob dines without them. Saw, we're sick of 'em. We had pea soup and boiled tripe. What do you think of that? We had sprats and herrings, a bullock's heart, a baked shoulder of mutton and potatoes, pig's fry and Irish stew. I ordered the dinner, sir, and got more credit for inventing it than they ever gave to Uther Sawyer. The Marquess was in ecstasies, the Earl devoured half a bushel of sprats, and if the Viscount is not laid up with a surfeit of bullock's heart, my name's not Howard Walker. Billy, as I call him, was in the chair, and gave my health, and what do you think the rascal proposed?" "What did his lordship propose?" "That every man present should subscribe 2 pence, and pay for my share of the dinner. By Jove! It is true, and the money was handed to me in a pewter pot, of which they also begged to make me a present. We afterwards went to Tom Springs,
From Tom's to the finish, apostrophe from the finish to the watch house that is, they didn't send for me, just as I was getting into bed, to bail them all out. They're happy dogs, those young noblemen, said Mr. Eglanton. Nothing but pleasure from morning till night, no affectation neither no hauteur, but manly downright straightforward good fellows. Should you like to meet them, Tiny my boy? Said the captain. If I did, sir, I hope I should show myself to be gentleman, answered Mr. Eglanton. Well, you shall meet them, and Lady Billingsgate shall order her perfumes at your shop. We are going to dine, next week, all are set, at Mealy-Faced Bob's, and you shall be my guest, cried the captain, slapping the delighted artist on the back. And now, my boy, tell me how you spent the evening. At my club, sir, answered Mr. Eglanton, blushing rather. What, not at the play with the lovely black-eyed miss, what is her name, Eglanton? Never mind her name, captain, replied Eglanton, partly from prudence and partly from shame. He had not the heart to own it was Crump, and he did not care that the captain should know more of his destined bride. You wish to keep the 5,000 to yourself, eh, you rogue? Responded the captain, with a good-humored air, although exceedingly mortified. For, to say the truth, he had put himself to the trouble of telling the above long story of the dinner, and of promising to introduce Eglanton to the lords, solely that he might elicit from that gentleman's good humor some further particulars regarding the young lady with the billiard ball eyes. It was for the very same reason, too, that he had made the attempt at reconciliation with Mr. Mozres, which had just so signally failed. Nor would the reader, did he know Mr. W. better, at all require to have the above explanation. But as yet we are only at the first Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.